This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here around the Umpqua Valley. We cover a lot of different things. One of the big issues in the past few days has been the passage out of the House, which means both chambers have now passed the Secure Rural Schools legislation, reauthorizing that. We talked to Congresswoman Hoyle, Congressman Bentz, both Washington, D.C. earlier this week. Commissioner Freeman's going to join us next week to have a county reaction, and we wanted to get reaction from State Senator David Brock Smith, who's involved in a number of things in that arena. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle.
So let's talk about that. We have gone a period of time here when this was not reauthorized. The counties impacted, including Douglas, certainly, taking a big hit there. I mean, a lot of concerns. So a lot of folks across both sides of the aisle, pretty, I guess, relieved would be a word to say following the passage the other day.
Indeed, relieved. As you know, it was, I think, what was it, about three ninety-nine to five noes. Really appreciate Congressman Bentz and, of course, Congresswoman Hoyle's push on that. Secure Rural Schools and Self-Determination Act has been around since 2000. Senator Wyden put it into place after, of course, the timber wars and the spotted owl to assist in funding county services. Many of the counties, the 18 ONC counties especially, rely on timber receipts. And you're going to hear more about this when you talk to Commissioner Freeman, because he's not only Douglas County Commissioner and the timber capital of the world, but also the president of the Association of ONC Counties and is the most knowledgeable in this arena. And they've been pushing on this for a long time. So Senate Bill 356 that the House finally moved forward is going to not only allocate the resources through fiscal year 2026, but backfill the resources that have not been allocated since 24, so including 24 and 25. Those resources will come in for counties to be able to create their budgets here in the spring for the next fiscal year. But I cannot emphasize enough, Kyle, that this is as I did in our joint press release with Representative Osborne and Representative Boyce. These are just bridge gap fundings to get us through to the needed reforms that are necessary. Congress is not moving forward. And again, Commissioner Freeman can talk more about this, but the 1937 ONC Act requires sustainable resources. These resources that we're getting now from SRS, of course, have not been adjusted for inflation, and they aren't what we need in our rural timber counties to be able to fund services. But they, of course, do help. And I'm grateful for the work to get it through.
And it seems like we've had this for a long period of time. And even when it was initially put into effect, the hope seemed to be that it would be short term. Well, it's turned into a lot more than short term.
Well, indeed. And again, you know, it is... And it always seems to have to be a fight for, you know, these payments. Now, mind you, for 100-plus years, right, the receipts that we would be getting off BLM lands were only 50% of what was harvested. The other 50% would go into the United States Treasury to fund services across the country, right? I often say that there's a county in Florida that got resources from Oregon timber, and that is the case. And it's even less when it comes to the timber that comes off the United States Forest Service land in receipts. I don't want to say it's only 25% or 20%, but Commissioner Freeman would know, again, But this is all, this is supposed to have been a stopgap until we move forward with the timber, with the increase in timber harvest. And that, as you know, is something that we are all working on. In fact, Travis Joseph from Oregon Forest Resource Council was testifying in front of a Congress day before yesterday on this very issue. And the work that we've talked about, that, you know, we've created the Council of State Governments West Wildfire and Disaster Preparedness Committee, which I had the honor to co-chair with Assemblyman Watts from Nevada, to really unite the 1,180 legislative voices from the 13 western states, from Wyoming to Alaska and Hawaii, to push our congressional delegation to have Congress front-load the needed dollars so that we can move forward with the harvest activities that are necessary, catastrophic wildfire, but get secured, reliant wood products into the local mills in our rural Oregons, while ultimately reducing insurance premiums that are occurring in our rural communities because of the fire that burns on the federal landscape.
Now, we've had a couple of recently announced mill closures. Sometimes those are shifts in strategy for the marketplace, but that's also just a reminder that it's an industry that's still featuring is still involved in, if I can get the right word out, kind of tough times.
It is tough times for our timber and wood products industries right now, very tough times. And yet we still import 25% of our raw logs from Canada and elsewhere when we don't need to be doing that. We have the resources right next door. And if the governor wants to reach her goal of 36 housing units a year, mind you, there was only a little over 13,000 last year, which is down from the year before. There's no reason why we should be importing wood to turn into sticks and all the transportation costs associated with it when we could be harvesting and manufacturing right here at home. We are extremely frustrated, but grateful for this bridge funding to help counties, public safety, and services to citizens.
And because it takes care of last year, this year, and next year, we're going to find ourselves quite likely back in the issue of reauthorization, you know, not that many months down the road.
This is true. And we're going to need to, again, argue that point, and everyone needs to be all hands on deck to do so, because we still need those services. I'm hopeful. You know, I said that when we created this Wildfire and Disaster Preparedness Committee, that we have 4 years to get it done. And I am hopeful that Congress will see the path forward in doing this, because ultimately, I mean, fire is quote-unquote big business, right? But ultimately, the federal government would be money ahead if we were to move forward with the strategies that we, you know, especially on the wet west side, that we employed in the work that was done in the Fremont-Wyoming National Forest down in Klamath County that survived the massive bootleg fire because you did the thinning, the described fire, and the ladder fuel reduction. And it also employs the people. I passed legislation this last session that would streamline transitioning our Oregon wildland firefighters and the fuel reduction work, partnerships with our local wood products and logging outfits in the state will increase the jobs and growth for them. But again, provide them with the steady stream of product that they know that they can have, and a commitment to that, to the same moving forward, so that maybe they can make the investments into mass timber and other things if they knew that they had a predictable amount of local lumber that they could or local trees that they could process.
All right, we're going to take a break to talk more about it with State Senator David Brock Smith in a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1-541-radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Monday, we're going to talk about the City of Roseburg Parks and Recreation Department work being done on a new master plan for, by far, biggest park, Stewart Park. Val Liggett from the Parks and Rec Department will be in for that. State Senator David Brock Smith with us just ahead of a busy weekend. We'll be out tomorrow with Rudolph Run collecting toys for deserving kids around the Umpqua Valley with the Department of Human Services. We'll also be with the Race Across America event tomorrow. David, I understand you're going to come over for that as well.
Yeah, I'm actually in Coos Bay now. I just finished the Bay Area Chamber of Commerce Annual Economic Forum, where I opened it this morning at 7, and then headed down to, of course, the Douglas Electric Cooperative annual Christmas dinner down at the casino this evening. I really appreciate all of the linemen and the work that they do. And of course, worked on broadband stuff for DFN as well. And then I'll be up tomorrow morning for the Reef the Crop America. I really appreciate, of course, Commissioner Boyce, Commissioner Kress, and Commissioner Freeman for their dedication, and of course the Douglas County veterans and all the work that we're doing. I just want to give a shout out. Appreciate Congresswoman Hoyle's testimony to the Congressional Veterans Affairs Committee in pushing forward the needed funding to move our project forward that we got the state dollars, $35 million. Now we just need the $65 million from the feds. And I'm hopeful that in the next budget cycle, they'll go ahead and just clear the whole list that they have, as they've done in the past. And I know that our senators are working for the same message.
So let's talk again more about Secure Rural Schools passing. One of the other things you do is the CSG West Wildfire and Disaster Preparedness Committee. Talk about your role in that and how this kind of ties in.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, we created the committee at the end of, beginning of 2025. CSG West, of course, represents those 13 Western states, 1,180 state legislators within those 13 states, and only 16 co-chairs, 8 Republicans, 8 Democrats of the 8 standing committees. We created that standing committee because the Western states are unique when it comes to wildfire, as we all know. And we also are unique when it comes to the amount of federal lands that are owned and managed within those Western states. I mean, in Oregon, it's over 50%. And when it comes to Oregon stats, and we've talked about this in the past, Kyle, but we have from the 10-year average from 13 to 23, haven't got the updated numbers yet, but 82% of the acres burned in Oregon or on federal lands, and of the 18% of acres that are burned on private, 15% of those acres that are burned are because of fires that come off federal land and burn private land. And of the 3% of fires that start on private land, 98% of those fires and acres, burned are kept less than 100 because they're a managed resource and there's initial attack. We came through this last fire season pretty well. I mean, we did have some last-minute fires down there and on the Rogue River in Curry County, and because of the initial attack, we were able to save the Half Moon Lodge and the Paradise Lodge. Paradise Lodge used to be owned by Representative Boyce and for a number of years. What we're hopeful in doing is, as I mentioned before, And we have another meeting coming up on the 16th virtually, where we've invited all of the natural resource committee legislators from all those 13 Western states. We have already a number of them already on our wildfire disaster preparedness committee. And it's the unified voice for what we know that works, not just our timberlands, but our grazing lands that are owned by federal government, where you can move forward with opportunities for having leased out to ranchers to be able to use to keep grasses down. We passed legislation that I drafted in 23 that is kind of baby steps to get here in Oregon, where it's Oregon's position to the federal government that you partner to the greatest extent with DFPA and CFPA, of course, Douglas Forest Protection Association, that we are telling the feds that we want more timber harvests. We want more meadowland restoration, which, of course, historically were natural fire breaks, that we want more prescribed fire on the landscape and ladder fuel reductions, and we want more salvage logging after fires occur so that we can get the replanting back in there. And so doesn't really happen all that often, but we actually, our committee through CSUS, the Wildfire and Disaster Preparedness Committee, was able to get a $75,000 grant to continue the work from the Legacy Foundation that we're doing, which is fantastic. And it's going to culminate into this unified voice from Western states, again, to our congressional Western states congressional delegation in D.C., and do a full court press on needed changes to management strategies and increased harvest levels so that we can then get away from this SRS and back to receipts, funding our county services while also employing people and giving our local timber and timber owners and our local mills the assurance that they have local logs coming to process.
You know, one of the aspects of this issue is it seems, whether we're talking the state level or the federal level, you also have to deal with shifts in office holders. Under the Trump administration, a number of changes have been proposed and things starting to happen. You don't know whether that's going to shift to the other side of the aisle next time around or whatever. And you may, it seems like one of the things that I've been told a number of times by folks in Congress is you, and by some of the county folks, is you end up essentially talking the same talking points, but every couple of years, the people you need to get the message to has to, you know, ends up changing.
Agreed. You know, I said earlier, you know, 4 years, but really it's two, right? We have until the end of next year to really make meaningful change in Congress. Because we don't know what's going to happen in November of 2026. I have my hopes, not just within the state, but also within the feds, that we will move forward in a positive way to be able to get the needed changes that we all hope to have done. You know, when it comes to the environmental community, for example, they have embraced the work that was done in the Fremont Wynema. You know, having led the charge to stop cap and trade in Oregon, in the Oregon State Legislature, you know, the hypocrisy is in full display when you talk about wanting to sequester carbon, when you talk about wanting to reduce emissions. And yet we know that we have strategies and prescriptions that will work to protect our trees, be able to process them into sticks, and be able to then store or sequester that carbon for generations in those homes and buildings. And frankly, mass timber itself is more fire resilient and stronger when building. And so, you know, what Ferris Lumber is doing with their mass timber applications, it's a fantastic opportunity. And I believe that other timber owners and other mills would want to invest if they knew they had a stream of product logs coming in to be able to rely on. which then we won't see the mill closures that we're doing, but we'll actually see the investments across the state into the next generation.
All right, just about out of time. Along with coming over for the Race Across America event, what's on your schedule in the next few days, real quick?
Well, I've been down to Medford. I've been over to Butte Falls to help with some wolf issues. Of course, in Portland on Monday for the Oregon Business Leaders Summit. So the next few days is Roseburg, and I'll finally be home Saturday night. I haven't been there since last Saturday, so I look forward to being home for a few days.
State Senator David Brock Smith, perhaps we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.